Hey, God bless you for being in church today. For some reason, you've chosen to be in this church. Now, I don't know if your parents chose for you. I don't know if your agenda chose. I don't know if something got you here other than just you made that personal decision, but you're here. And if you're going to be in this church, there needs to be something valuable that you receive while you're here. You know, we go to movies because we really want to see that movie. We want to get something out of it. And boy, aren't you just disappointed when you leave a movie, you're going, I really want to go up there and ask for my money back. You know, you're not going to get it back. So if you gave something in the offering, forget it. It's ours. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we have that feeling, don't we? I hope that when you came in this morning that you got one of these brochures. It's about our core values. We're going to be talking about those for the next several weeks. And if you didn't get one this morning, then I invite you to just grab some. They're out there on the table to the left, and we ask you to just take that with you. We want to investigate the core values of our church. In many ways, some of you, it'll be brand new. This is what our values of the church is. This is what we put first, and that's where we want to go. Before I do that, I just want to make a couple of quick announcements. First of all, if you've never been to Sunday night service, come Sunday night this night. We have something on my heart that's all about the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and your salvation that I want to preach about. So if you can, come back and be about back a part of the evening service. The other thing is if you have not checked the table right here to the left when you leave, you see, we do this thing during Christmas where people can exchange Christmas cards here and among the church. If your Christmas card is out there, then you need to take it with you, because if you don't, we're going to dedicate it to something. It's going somewhere. You know, and I'm not sure it's going to you, but that's up to Terry and him. Core values. Before we get there, I want to remind you of the vision statement of our church. You see, when we look around and we see this church, there's a lot of things that we want to know and everything, but we have created a vision that we want people to be exposed to. The first simply part of that vision says simply this, that we want you to be able to come as you are, that you don't have to change anything. You don't have to be different. You don't have to put on some kind of pretense. That you can wear what you want to be. You be who you want to be. That you can come to church as you are. You see, there's some things that you go to. There's an expectation you have to change. You know, there's some places that I'm going to go that I need to go. And I need to make sure that my attire and everything else. I did a funeral on Friday, and I was visiting with the family. And when I visited with them, it was a day when we were doing a lot of work here. I had blue jeans on. I had my ball cap on. You know, I was in these grungy old jeans. I said, I promise I won't show up like this Friday. And the coolest thing, they said, we don't care. They said, that's okay. And I said, that may be okay for you, but to honor a funeral situation, I will change a little bit. You see, that was an important thing to do. You know, medical personnel, you know, they wear ties. Sometimes they do these things. There's a reason for that. But when you come here, we want you to be able to come as you are. And we also want you to love like family. What that simply means is that we want you to feel the love of Christ and the love of others to the point that someday, very, very, very soon, you feel like your family. If you don't feel that yet, we want that to be ultimately your experience here at the church. And the last part of that says, live the journey. You see, we're going somewhere, and we want you to go with us. And you want to go there too. Not necessarily a specific destination, but our life has this built-in desire to go something, to be something, to improve, to change, to get better. That's built in us. That's the Spirit of Christ, and we want you to be a part of that. But today, we look at our core values. So if you are following along with me there, I want you to get your brochure out, and we're going to look at the core value that says that we are a welcoming church. But before we do that, I want you to remind you what core values are, especially in the context of our church. It is what we believe literally to the core of our being. When you strip away all the layers and all the things that we do around here, underneath that, these are our values. Do you believe that we love our little children that are in the nursery? You better believe it. Do you believe that we love missionaries that are on foreign soil? You better believe it. Do you believe that there's people out here in our community that somehow, if God will help us and make the connection and the relationship, that we want to love them, help them, maybe financially as well as spiritually? You better believe it. You know where that came from? What we believe deep down in our heart, our core convictions. They're the different things that literally we build our foundation upon, these beliefs. They are the standard by which we measure our behavior. You know, that's what a core value is. So let me introduce you to the one that says, we absolutely value becoming and being a welcoming church. Everybody knows when you're welcome, and everybody knows when you're not welcome. Isn't that true? It doesn't take very long to know whether somebody is receptive or not. Now, sometimes there's awkwardness. Sometimes you go into a place, you're unfamiliar. Have you ever been to somebody else's house and you don't know where the bathroom is and you don't know what to do? You know, you just kind of linger around there. I've told this story before, but it's just really kind of embarrassing. When I was 16, my girlfriend, no offense, Debbie, she doesn't mean anything to me. She's all a part of the past. Don't know her anymore. Okay. But anyway, her parents took me to this restaurant. I go to this restaurant, and they had like a knife and a fork and a fork. And the fork was up here and a couple of spoons. And I'm going, I don't need that much, seriously. I mean, I just grew up with a knife and a fork, and I'm good, you know. And so they had all this stuff. So my girlfriend leans over. She goes, just start from the outside and go in. I had no idea what that meant. Matter of fact, halfway through the meal, I drop my fork. I reach down to grab it. And this guy out of nowhere shows up, and he grabs my fork. I look at him like, I'm going to need that. I mean, that's what I do. It was weird, and it was awkward. But after a while, I kind of got settled into that thing, and that's why I go to McDonald's to this day. I just don't ever want to repeat that circumstance ever again. I'm good with styrofoam and paper classic. We know when we're welcome. We know when we're not. Here's the rest of that core value. It says, we will create an atmosphere that is inviting and welcoming to all. You realize that doesn't just happen. That's something create. It's something that has to happen. Now, if you're new to a church, just like anything else, if you're new somewhere, you don't know all the rules. You don't know how everybody does things. So it's not expecting upon you to make that circumstance. It's expectant upon the church to make that happen. And that's what we want to do. We base this on a verse of Scripture in Romans, the 15th chapter. It says, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, I want to back up a couple of Scriptures and read this to you because it sets the pace. I want you to just kind of get the visual here. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he says this, when them who are strong are there, they need to bear with the weak. Now, this sounds a little crazy, but he's saying this. Those of you who have been here forever, this is your home church. You grew up here. You've been here for a long time. Then you're the ones that kind of know where everything is. You kind of know how things are. So you know what? You ought to take the people that are new and just welcome them and help them and embrace them and make them feel like home and comfortable. And that's what we want to do here. He goes on to say this, and we should not please ourselves, but let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Here's a great thing that would happen if the world would start doing this. Then instead of worrying about what's good for me, that I found out, first of all, what's good for you and took care of you. Zig Ziglar years ago said this, and of course he's a really, really old motivational speaker, but he said this. He said, you know what? If we'll spend enough time making sure other people's needs are met, our needs will be met. You see, we get in trouble when we try to make ourselves comfortable and then worry about everybody else. But he says, you know what? This is what Christ said. This is what Paul is saying. Zig Ziglar said it in his little motivational speech. If we put other people's feelings first, we're always going to have our needs met. We're always going to take care of that. And that's what he's talking about there. He says, you know what? Jesus Christ even did this. Matter of fact, he didn't please himself. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you might be with one mind and one mouth glorifying him. And then he repeats this verse of Scripture we just read. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us. So if we're going to be a welcoming church, then you know what? Let's get the end in front of the end, in front of this. So we start thinking with the end in mind first. What does that look like? What does a welcoming church look like? So that's where we want to go. It's this goal that we work toward. Every one of us, when we came to church today, whether you've been here forever or it's the first time you ever walked through our doors, had this anticipation or this expectation that people will be kind to you, that people will be receptive, that they will be outgoing, that they will answer all of your questions, they will be kind to you, they'll greet you in sincerity and genuineness, that there will be this wonderful atmosphere. Now, I got to tell you, if you're not a motion person, you know, that was a little different. But you know, in a welcoming church, you're going, hey, you know what? I just feel like that's okay. As a matter of fact, I don't have to do this, you know, but I just feel comfortable and welcome. And that's the goal that we have. So how are we going to do that? Let me give you a couple of things that I think will really help us. And this is tied in with our relationship with Christ. You see, as we start talking about the core values of the church, how we should behave, how we should exercise our feelings as God has directed us, they're all connected to Christ and how Christ wants us to be as an individual. So let's start with this. How about we put a heavy emphasis on considering each other, considering the other person, thinking about where they are, because in this congregation, there are a lot of people with different backgrounds, different circumstances. We just started our Sunday school class, our before church group class called New to Him and New to Us. And in that, we were asking about the different experiences, what church you grew up into, or if you did grow up in church. We had a young lady who was from Alaska. We had others that had strong Assembly of God roots. We had others that had moved all over the place, different church experiences, have been several churches before they came here. All in just one little context, all of these different things, because you have a big mix. Well, Raymond Perkins said this. He asked the question, are you living life with an eye for others in the family of God? Are you living life with an eye for others in the family of God? That means, you know what? We have priorities. We have things that need to be taken care of. We have needs. But at the same time, the most important thing is looking out and projecting what other people's needs are, embracing them. You know, Debbie and I have had some house guests this weekend, and they're in the church service, so I'm just going to ask this out loud, and please don't give me a response, but hopefully we've hosted them well. Hopefully they felt comfortable in our home. Hopefully they don't feel so comfortable they're going to move in or anything like that. We want them to go home eventually, but you know, hopefully they've had a really good experience at our home. You know, so that's where we want to go. So have you ever taken the time to find out what their story is, where their circumstances are, what they face every day? You see, it's so easy. It's human nature to think about me and what I'm going through and what I'm having. And you know what? Sometimes your issue is much, much more important than theirs. But somehow God has this ability that if you'll at least address theirs, consider someone else before you consider yourself. God says, in doing that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I take care of you. It's what God does, and He does it great. Another thing we need to remember is Scripture. You see, Scripture is one of those things that we go through for encouragement. Whenever we're down, we need an answer to a question. We got a problem. We don't know what to do. We're struggling with the will of God. Where do we go? Well, you can go a lot of places, but you're going to end up in Scripture if you're going to get some really, really good, solid direction. And as we go to Scripture and we're encouraged, it gives us the ability to encourage others. You know what? Everybody has, you know, good advice. Everybody has a great idea, but there's no better great idea than God's Word. And as it sustains our spiritual life, it pours into others, and out of that, we become a welcoming church. You see, people don't meet us as void, just kind of being there type people. They see you in your genuineness. Now, we have people that have jobs here. We have ushers. We have greeters. We have teachers. We have people taking care of your children. We have a youth pastor. We have a children's pastor. We've got a lot of things here. But hopefully, in every case that you meet them, it's out of the genuineness of their heart, where God has called them to minister, that they're ministering in, not just because they have a job description. They're not just out there just to open doors and hand you a brochure, but instead they're there and embrace you and love you and tell you how much that God loves you through their actions. That all was born out of Scripture. Yeah, I heard it said one time that if people ate their meals the way they study Scripture, we would all starve to death. Stop and think about it. How often do you feed yourself during the day? Quite often. How often do we get into the Word? Sometimes only just little bitty nuggets. I mean, you know, it's just a little five-minute thing here. Out of that, it's almost impossible to become a welcoming church, much less an encouraging person, if that's all the encouragement you get. The next thing is hope. I mean, everybody goes to church for hope. Everybody goes to church at hope. So, as I said earlier, that we begin with the end in mind, and that's especially true in the church. Everybody comes here regardless of their circumstances, and they're hoping, they're praying, that when they leave, they're filled with hope and encouragement and faith, and I have the strength to go another day, and God has showed up and given me comfort and peace and those things. That's what you want to look in church. And God uses these incredibly fallible individuals called humans to help us to do that, because He said, you know what? You are the body of Christ. I know we're all realists. We all just look at the facts. We understand. But God forbid we become really negative people, because there will always be difficulties. There will always be indifference. There will always be circumstances. All of those are going to exist. But if we don't choose to look at the big picture and view God, then people are going to come in here and say, you know what? I feel worse after church than I did before I went to church. That is not a good thing, and it's not the nature of a welcoming church. Hey, I wrote this down, but stop and think about it. If we never play, we never have any fun. If we never work, we never build anything. And if we never fellowship, we never grow. We never grow. See, God wants us to grow in all this. So I pray that you will let the God of hope today, because that's what Romans 5 tells me. He said he is the God of hope, that the God of hope, through us and through his own personal relationship with you, will cause you to feel welcome in his church, not just this church. The next thing is harmony, not e-harmony, harmony. All right, I've seen enough of those stuff. Remember back when the day it was evil if you met somebody online? I still remember they're going, you met them online? Don't you know that they're probably an axe murderer? You know, that kind of thing. Now you got all kinds of stuff. I mean, I saw one the other day for farmers. I mean, goodness gracious. People are hooking up no matter what they got going on out there. But we're not talking about that. All right? We're talking about harmony. Harmony. All right? By the way, the definition of harmony isn't, okay, let's agree to disagree. You ever heard that? I understand what they're saying. You know, we've come to an impasse. You know, I'm not going to give up my argument. You're not going to give your argument. So harmony isn't we get to the point to where we agree to disagree, okay? Because all we do in that is what we're going to do is we're going to postpone the inevitable conflict till later. We're just going to postpone this thing, and that's not what God wants in his church. I think it's amazing that kids can grow up in the same family with the same parents, same house, same rules, I mean, yet they could be so very, very different. Because families learn how to adjust to all of these things, these different personality traits, these different circumstances. Debbie and I were so worn out, we decided that after two, we're not going to go any further. We're done. My mom and dad didn't have that much common sense. Debbie's mom and dad, they had six kids. We had six kids. Maybe that's why Debbie and I get along so well. We all have these siblings. You see, in the church, when we start thinking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope it puts a smile on our face instead of, they're my brothers and sisters Christ. I don't think we really go down that road that much because God doesn't want it to go down that road, but there's always these differences, and may God give us the ability to make all of these differences be complementary. You see, we don't all feel the same way. We don't all like the same songs. We all don't dress the same way. We don't talk the same way. We don't vote the same way. All these different things. But you know what? When we come together in a welcoming church, we put those things aside, not because we ignore them, but because you are more important than my feelings. You are more important than the things that I like more than what I like that you like. You know, all of those things get put aside so that Christ can bring us together under unity. And it's called harmony. It's called harmony. I told the story last year about a gentleman who it was in this church, and they decided that this tree out in the parking lot needed to go. It was on an island. It was dying. Needed to go. And this gentleman who just really, really felt like they needed to keep the tree, argued for keeping the tree. Finally, it got to the point where the church had to take a vote on it. So they voted, and he lost. And on the day that they took down the tree, he was the first one to show up. He had his tools with him, and they said, wait a minute. You're the one who adamantly said, we don't need to cut this down. I want to save this tree. He said, yeah, I know. He said, I still feel that way. But we voted to cut it down, and I'm here to help. That's power. I heard a story a long time ago. You know, there's all kinds of churches around today. Churches that have all kinds of different settings. Some of them look like a warehouse. And I don't say that in a derogatory meaning. Seriously, it's a warehouse setting. Some of them are different forms, lifestyles, whatever. And I remember hearing the story a long time ago. Someone went to a church, very active, loud worship. I mean, they were just the band was going crazy. And there was an 80-something-year-old guy at the door handing out bulletins. And somebody said, sir, please, I just have no idea, but honestly, you probably don't like that music, do you? He says, absolutely not. Don't like it a bit. I said, why are you here? He goes, because I love those young people who love it. You see, harmony gets us to the point to where we look beyond things like that and put things first. Hey, you know, it may be an issue to you. It may be something you don't really like. It may be something that you wouldn't promote. But you know what? The cause of Christ is always promotional. Let's talk about praise for a second. When you get together with other people, it's really cool how God begins to build a unity, whether you ever get to really know them by name, but in the context of a church setting, whether it's a church experience, whether it's a church service, whether it's just going to the same place, meeting somebody out in the hallway, sharing a before church class with them, God gives you this unity because we're praising the same God. Now, let me ask you, what makes enemies into allies? What makes people who have indifferences into people who have something that they call unity? You know what it's called? It's called a common goal. You see, two enemies that are going to be opposed to each other, there's a greater circumstance, and now we need to join together so that that can be defeated. We have these indifferences, but the next thing you know, we begin to understand that really unified, we can accomplish it so much more. And when we come to church, a welcoming church, and we begin to praise our Lord and Savior, and He's the issue, not me and not you, and not how you feel, not how I feel, then you know what? We can have unity. It doesn't mean that I have to give up how I feel and support how you feel. No, this is about unity. And you know what? It causes it to happen, not because we sat down and we negotiated or we talked it out or our policy was passed. No, it's because we're praising the same God. It's amazing when everybody focuses on God, there's a whole lot of problems that go away. There's a whole lot of arguments that never get started. There's a whole lot of answers that come immediately just simply because God is there. Because when I find myself praising God, I find myself easily praising you. You see, it's a bleed over effect. If I learn to praise Him, then God gives me a heart that says, okay, now take the opportunity and praise my people. Pat them on the back. Tell them how much you love them. That's part of a welcoming church. It's the things that we do as we flesh this thing out. The last thing is following the example of Jesus. We go back to our core scripture, Romans 5:7, it says, receive, I'm sorry, 15:7, it says, receive one another just as Christ also received you. In the New International Version, it says this, receive one another just as Christ also received you. In the King James, with the NIV, it says, accept one another just as Jesus Christ also accepted you. We should welcome each other as Christ has welcomed us. So, here's the obvious question. How did Christ welcome you? How did He receive you? How did He look at you? I've said this several times, but it always bears repeating then that the Bible tells us clearly that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so much that even though we didn't care, we weren't looking for Him, He was looking for us. He was looking for us so intently that He decided to go to the cross on our behalf. That's the way He received us. That's the way He accepted us. And that's the way we need to be welcoming others. And then a true expression and extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not forget that He didn't die for our sins from heaven. You know what Jesus did? Jesus left heaven, came to earth, very humbling birth, humbling life, and He lived that life out so that He can touch mankind. He walked among us. You see, a lot of times we want to love the principle of loving others, but we want to stay in our comfort zones. And that's a very difficult thing to understand, that a welcoming church doesn't worry about how we feel. It's about others first, and God will always take care of our feelings. It's about acting on what we believe to the core of our being, these core values. And as we act them out, our feelings will follow. Have you ever noticed that? Hey, you've been in bed in the morning, you're going, I don't feel like getting up. You were there this morning, for crying out loud. You didn't want to get up, go up in church. I know I'm the best preacher on the planet, but you still didn't want to go. Even though you knew we were going to do motion songs, you still didn't want to go. But you know what? You decided, and now your feelings have rescued you because your feelings has followed your faith. And that's what we do in a welcoming church, because we literally follow the example of Jesus. When we talk about Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, are we literally imitating His life? Are we becoming the people that He was? The true extension, living out the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's following His example. We have a banner up there that outlines this core value. It says, as we talked all along, we value becoming and being a welcoming church. We're going to create this atmosphere that's inviting and welcoming, and we want everybody to love it. Now the problem is we need to make that banner come to life. You see, last July when we started talking about our core values and we introduced this, that was an introduction. Now it's time to apply them. Now it's time to put them into work. Now it's time to start exercising them. So this is my challenge to you today. If you like that idea, whether you need to find a welcoming church or you want to be a welcoming church, it all starts with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It all starts with, do you really, really love Him? Because, you know, everything else is just trying to fit the mold. Just trying to do what Pastor said because they're in the core values. Or trying to do like everybody else said. You've done that, haven't you? You've tried to imitate other people. We've tried to emulate other people's actions, and you feel empty. But you know what? When you really, really, really love the Lord Jesus Christ, it all comes out naturally. Because it's the expression of who is, and not I'm trying to fool somebody else. Nobody likes a phony. You know what? I don't want people in our church to try to make us a welcoming church because they slap a smile on their face and they hand something to your hand and say, good morning, how are you? But you know it's not genuine. You see, we don't always have the opportunity to do the follow-up question. It's easy to say, how are you doing? Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, how are you? And we know that it's not possible for everybody to follow that up because the follow-up question is, no, really, 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 how are you? What if they were to say, well, I'll tell you, if first of all, you tell me, really, 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 how are you? We've learned how to be big boys and girls and go to church and go to school and go to work. And we slap our professional faces on and our smiles and we're greeting and we know what to do. We've got that down. These kids know how to go to school and make it through the day. They know how to make sure that nobody sees that they're frail and they're hurting. They're hiding the fact that there's problems at home. They're all of the insecurities that come with that type of age. They're making sure none of those things really expose themselves because they look like weakness. So we all learn to do that. But in a welcoming church, it may not be appropriate for full disclosure, but it's always appropriate for God to let you know you're in a safe place. People love you. It starts with the love of Jesus Christ in your life. Will you bow your heads with me real quick? Close your eyes if you don't mind. Knowing Jesus Christ is the most important part of any part of this. We could try to structure a lot of things. We could try to do a lot of things. We could put people at doors. We could create handouts, all of those things. But if it doesn't come down to that we know the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, then it's all just a bunch of formality. And God says, I want you to know that I did indeed leave my wonderful circumstances called heaven to come to this earth just to tell you that I love you. You know, in the midst of all of that, at that moment, when I met Jesus Christ for the first time, I wasn't worried, nor did I even think about whether I was going to be in a church that would welcome me. I needed to know that I had a Savior who would welcome me. I knew one thing, that this new circumstance called sin was in my life and that I needed to be forgiven. That if he did not accept me, how could I ever go to anywhere else that I could be accepted? And the beautiful thing is the first person who ever extended that welcome to me was Jesus Christ. And because of his welcome, I followed him. And because of that, I did find a church. And because of that, we are in this church. And today, much more than just a core value that Claremore Assembly of God has created, I pray that this expression of God's heart into your heart and God's life into your life and God's purpose into your purpose, that today you will find in him the very, very secret that you're looking for. And that is, guess what? He welcomed you first. He cares more about you than he does that this church is welcoming. He wants to make sure that you feel welcome with him. So today, if you don't know him, or today you feel far from him, or today you're questioning your relationship with him, I promise you he has come to this place for this point in this moment and in this hour to remind you that you are not only welcome, you have already been accepted. And I have already done the job of going to the cross and dying on that cross, shedding my blood so that today you can know, walk out of this place, hopefully with an experience with a welcoming church, but more importantly, a personal experience with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If today you need that, if today you want him once again, you want to feel his arms wrap around you, you want to feel once again the incredible reception of the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to feel once again the incredible acceptance, the way he received you, took you in and said, I love you and I am going to forgive you and we are going to make this thing right. If that's you, would you just put your hand up and right back down? Just real quick. Just put it up and right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? You see, that's the beginning of a great experience with Christ. out of that, that welcoming church thing, it'll take care of itself. Can I pray for you before we leave, before we dismiss? Can I just pray for you? Father, I pray a prayer, not of specifics, because this isn't about an interview. I didn't pull anybody out of the crowd and say, hey, what's going on? What do I need to pray for? But I do know this much, that there's a desire on everyone in this place today to be an extension of who you say that we ought to be. Every one of us wants that experience to be received in that such a way, to not be questioned, not be scrutinized, that we're very, very comfortable. We can be ourselves. We can make mistakes and still be loved. We can fail and still be loved. We can blow it and still be loved. That's what a welcoming church does, because that's what a loving Savior does. So I pray today, Lord, on behalf of everyone who has been kind enough to come to this church and to attend this service, that right now what they will feel is the extreme acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of that, we will accept others. Out of that, we will receive others. Out of that, we will welcome others. But right now, Father, please pour down your Holy Spirit and assure everyone here how much you love them, how much you accept them, how to what extent you have gone to receive them. Lord, that's what happens in a welcoming church. Before we leave, I pray that you will remind all of us that the church isn't a structure. It's not brick and mortar. It's not padding and pews. What it is the body of Christ. It's the people who have embraced you because of your great invitation. And now the church gets to leave this building and be the church. Lord, a welcoming church doesn't stop at the door. It continues through everything that we do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. I'd like to dismiss by just reminding you of this one thing. You see, let's pick on doctors just for a second. When a doctor goes to the office, or if he goes to the hospital, whatever his clinical situation is, whether he wears a stethoscope or lab coat or whatever, he's the doctor. You know that. But guess what? Doctors don't have the privilege of just hanging that coat up and sitting the stethoscope down on their desk and leave. You know what? They're a doctor everywhere they go. If they know you're a doctor and somebody gets sick, they go call doctor. They grab you, run you over there. You know why? Because you're the medical expert. All right? That's the way it works. You're never, ever, ever away from being a doctor. You're always on call in one extent or the other, whether it's officially or not. The welcoming church, it's always on call. You see, somebody didn't come here today and don't know why. And it doesn't matter why, but you know what? They're waiting for the church to come to them. You see, a welcoming church doesn't just welcome people the minute they walk through that door and to the minute they leave. You are the church. And as you leave this place, I pray that you'll be that following example of Christ. I pray that you will be that harmony and that hope. I pray that you'll do that thing, the considering each other as you go. Because you know what? There's people at Walmart today that need to see the welcoming church walk through the door. There's neighbors of yours that need to know that you are part of a welcoming church. You know why? It's not because they need to know you or me. It's because they need to know Christ. Does that make sense? God bless you. All right, you've been a great crowd. I'll see you back tonight. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed.